the story of Frank A. Munsey, who was born in the year 1854 on a farm near Augusta, Maine. A typical farmer boy, he grew up to be a tall, gawky young man with sandy hair and icy blue eyes. His father never thought that Frank would amount to much, and it began to look as though he were right, especially when Frank gave up a good job in Augusta and came to New York City with only a few dollars in an alligator skin satchel containing a bundle of manuscripts. Among these manuscripts was a story entitled Do and Dare, or A Brave Boy's Fight for Fortune by Horatio Alger. Do and Dare. It might well have been the motto of Frank Munsey, for the farmer boy had come to the big city for the sole purpose of publishing a magazine. In the year 1884, we find Munsey in a cheap New York boarding house. He sits at a table littered with manuscripts, staring frigidly at the cracked window blind and stroking his sandy, drooping mustache.
I say, Munsey, I finished reading that story you wrote. Not bad.
Well, I'm no writer, Richard. I'm a publisher. But when a publisher can't afford to pay writers, he has to do the work himself.
Perhaps I can help you.
I can't pay you anything.
Of course not. That's understood.
Maybe someday I can pay you. Someday the Argosy is going to be one of the biggest magazines in the business. But just now I'm up to my ears in debt.
It's a hard business, publishing a magazine. Why did you get into it in the first place?
Because I didn't want to spend the rest of my life pushing a telegraph key. Once when I was in Philadelphia at the fair, I saw an exhibit put on by the New York Herald. Great, huge printing presses grinding out paper before your very eyes. I decided then that someday I'd own a newspaper like the New York Herald.
A commendable ambition.
Yes, if I can only get past these creditors. They hound me night and day. But somehow I managed to get the Argosy out every week, and the subscription list is growing. You really want to work with me, huh?
I think it will be an excellent experience. And besides, I've just thought of a good idea. There are a number of quite decent British magazines. We could take a few stories out of them.
You mean steal them?
No, not exactly. There are no copyright laws governing the matter. It would be an act of international goodwill.
I see your point. Yes, I believe it would work out. Come down to the office tomorrow. You have ideas. I believe you'll be a great help to me. Richard.
Oh, yes, Munsey. I heard you were looking for me.
Richard, I want to talk to you confidentially.
Oh, anything wrong?
Yes. We're in trouble again.
Huh? What's happened?
Well, ever since I enlarged this office, I've been able to meet the payroll by borrowing money. Today, as you know, is payday.
And you haven't got any money?
Not a cent. I sent a promissory note for the amount to the bank. Then I sent a man to the bank with a check for the same amount. And the bank wouldn't give him the money.
What can we do?
Well, if we don't meet the payroll, we're ruined. There's only one hope. I'm going over and see the president of the bank.
But if you haven't any money...
It won't kill me to talk to him, and it'll kill my magazine if I don't talk to him. So wish me luck, Richard. Hand me my cane.
Yes. You look prosperous enough, but don't plead with him if he suspects that you're in desperate straits.
He won't. If anyone wants me, I'll be back in an hour.
Morning, Mr. Munsey.
Good morning.
$10, $20, $30, Mrs. Smith.
Morning, Mr. Munsey.
I want to see Mr. Clark, the president.
Mr. Clark is busy, I'm sorry.
I say there, you have to wait.
I'll not wait.
Oh, Mr. Munsey.
Mr. Clark, how dare you?
But what's the
matter? You know what your bank did to me this morning? It refused me credit. It refused to honor my note. It sent back a check on me saying that I had no funds.
Oh, but I'm sure that...
What's this country coming to when men like you can throttle young enterprises? Actually strangle them by refusing proper credit. You know me, you know my business, and still you refuse to give me credit.
But, Mr. Munsey,
I'm going to send my cashier back here at once with that same check. And don't you dare refuse to honor it. Don't you ever dare to refuse me credit again. Good day.
That week, Frank Munsey met his payroll. And for weeks to follow, the Golden Argosy sailed on its way to fame and fortune in the magazine world. More Munsey magazines sprang up in the Argosy's wake to send the dollars pouring into Munsey's pockets. With his newly found capital, he built a great chain of grocery stores, hotels, banks, and newspapers. High above the city, in his neatly expensive apartment, he spent a solemn, lonely existence, unmarried and childless. Then, in January 1920...
Munsey, is it really true that you've bought the New York Herald?
Yes, it's the ambition of a lifetime, and I've finally realized it. The deal cost me $4 million.
But good Lord, you already own the Morning Sun. What are you going to do with that paper?
Combine it with the Herald. Make one newspaper out of both of them.
You intend to kill the Sun in the same way you killed the Press and the News?
That's
and...
a brutal statement. Of course, I'm not going to kill the Sun. I merely intend to merge it with the Herald. New York has too many newspapers anyway.
But thousands of people depend upon them for a living.
I know. The new Herald will be the greatest and most powerful newspaper in the United States. Remember what I told you years ago, Richard? I said that someday I'd own a paper like the Herald, and now I've got it.
It's mine. Yes, it's yours. In fact, now you have just about everything you wanted.
I believe you're right. I have just about everything.
Tonight, men. Tonight is the last night that we'll gather in these offices. The old New York Herald dies with this edition. Some of you will go to new jobs. Others, well, I wish the rest of you good luck.
Why didn't Munsey come tonight?
I suppose he didn't want to make us feel any more miserable than we do now. After all, this is sort of a wake. The clock over there says midnight. Take your hats off. All right, boys. Let's put it to bed for the last time. Okay. Let him roll. It's all over. The end of the Herald. Come on, Mike. Let's go out and get drunk.
Herald fared no better under Munsey's guidance than the luckless Mail and Sun. Almost at once, it began to lose money, draining Munsey's cash in an endless stream. Munsey could think of only one way out. That way was to buy another newspaper, the Tribune. But the owner of the Tribune was a woman, the elderly and congenial Mrs. Whitlaw Reed.
I'm sorry, Mr. Munsey, but we've given you our answer. The Tribune is not for sale.
I'll pay you well for it, Mrs. Reed. You'd better consider my offer.
Money isn't the object.
Then what do you want? Don't you see that there are too many morning papers in New York?
I agree with you perfectly. For that reason, I'm willing to buy the Herald from you.
But I couldn't sell the Herald. It's been my life's ambition to own that paper.
How old are you, Mr. Munsey?
Well, I'm almost 70.
We're both getting along in years. Have you ever thought of the future?
Why, of course.
Who'll take up your work when you lay it down? You're a bachelor, you...
I have no children. That's true.
But I have. Don't you see? The Tribune doesn't belong to me. It belongs to my son. My family built this newspaper, and my family intends to keep it.
I envy you, Mrs. Reed. For the first time in my life, I feel old.
Please understand. I'm only saying this so you realize how much the Tribune means to us.
But the Herald means a lot to me also. Ever since I was a boy, I've dreamed of owning a powerful newspaper.
I'm sorry.
Then you won't sell. That's final.
Absolutely final. But we'll offer you the same price for the Herald that you offered for the Tribune. $5 million.
Well, I suppose I'll have to take it. We can't both go on losing money.
Good. I'll get in touch with my lawyer tomorrow.
Very well. This hurts me more than anything I ever did, to give up the Herald. But it's a deal. You have my word.
Then I'll see you tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Oh, Mr. Munsey, I want you to give me $100,000 also.
What for?
For the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. You've made a good bargain for yourself. It's time you were thinking of something else.
I suppose you're right. You're a good businessman, Mrs. Reed. I'll give you the money. Good day.
John, Mr. Munsey's hat and cane. Good day to you, and good luck.
As well. She has children.
One year and 9 months after the sale of the New York Herald, Frank Munsey died at the age of 71, leaving an estate valued at $40 million. Upon his death, the Munsey newspapers, groceries, magazines, and other holdings were converted into cash, and the bulk of this fortune was given outright to the Metropolitan Museum. Thus ended the true Horatio Alger story of a poor boy who rose through his own labors from rags to riches. His name, though it may be forgotten by future generations, will remain forever carved in the cold stone of the Metropolitan. Frank Andrew Munsey, Captain of Industry.